Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. This is the Ken, the Passion Entrepreneur, your Chief Profitability Officer, your Sales and Profit Evangelist, if you will. Thank you for listening in. E3C, what does it mean? It stands for Entrepreneurship, Empowerment, and Evolution. And the C stands for Connect, Collaborate, and Create. We're going to introduce you to a very special entrepreneur this morning, and she's going to talk about how she's been empowered, how she empowers other urban areas and her company and her people. And we're going to talk a little bit about evolution and the revolution that's going on. And we're definitely connecting you with a very special entrepreneur this morning and business owner. And what we do is we show you how to maximize your profits and business opportunities. We teach you the best practices for profitability and share with you new ideas and strategies to take your business to the next level. Check out our website, Better Sales and Profits Now. That's Better Sales and Profits Now. We want you to listen, learn, enjoy, and share. Today we're going to talk about making the transition from the Fortune 100 or Fortune 500 company. You're an executive. How do you make that transition to become an entrepreneur? Today we have Millie Magnum, and she is Chief Executive Officer of IBT. She's going to explain what that means. So if you want to make this transition from executive to small business owner, or you want to be a small business owner, and you're making that transition, how do you do it? Millie has done it. Her company is a leader in developing retail environments for bank branches, especially retail and mixed-use concepts. It's a pioneer in the in-store banking, and IBT offers the domain expertise and the comprehensive range of integrated services. You got this retail distribution strategy. Maybe she'll explain what that means. Market research, performance training, design, architecture, construction, in-store. She's going to share with us this term I heard when I heard her talk called new urbanism, which is really interesting. So, Millie, welcome.
Well,
how are you?
I am terrific and pleased to be here.
And I'm pleased to have you here. I love interviewing entrepreneurs because that's what this world is all about. At least I think the world is all about. We need more entrepreneurs. We should celebrate entrepreneurship all the time. So, Millie, you've been with several large companies. I'll start to say AT&T, but it's not AT&T anymore.
It was Bell South.
Yeah, Bell South, and then General Electric. So,
right.
What led you to join those companies, and what did you learn from them?
Well, at the time when I came out of school, I think the major corporate America, to have an opportunity to work there was just an absolute blessing, and you thought corporate America was the thriving place and gave you wonderful opportunities. And my opportunity to work with General Electric was I started out in their locomotive division, actually, programming computers and technology.
Wow.
Right out of school. I did. And had the opportunity in the locomotive and transportation division. Over the next 6 years, we took that division from 12% market share to 70%. So in that sense, I started out in corporate America and in one of the finest business training grounds in which you can work. So
wow.
GE was a fabulous experience for me. I was there for about 13 years.
Wow. And you are a graduate of Emory University.
I am.
So, are you a native Georgian?
I am a native Georgian, but
oh,
I just
wow.
didn't live here. After Emory, I went to Pennsylvania, actually.
Oh, okay.
And worked in at General Electric there. So then I went to Connecticut at corporate headquarters in GE, and then Virginia, and and my Bell South career brought me back to Atlanta, and I haven't left Georgia since.
Oh, well, glad you're still here.
Me too. It's a great place.
So what did you learn from General Motors, GE, and Bell South that you take with you at this your enterprise now? So what are the key things that you learned?
I think from the large corporate experience is the assessment of markets, because everything starts with a market. Without a market, you really don't have a business. So, it's the assessment of markets, how big are those markets, how to approach those markets, what channels, what technologies affect those markets, so that you can really plan a business and the growth of the business around those markets. And I think that's from General Electric. I worked in every major business component of GE by the time I left. And at Bell South, I started the first international business for Bell South after divestiture from AB.
Wow.
So, and took it into to major international markets. So I think that front-end experience was invaluable and has been invaluable to me.
And so you made the transition from Fortune 500, Fortune 50, maybe Fortune 10 company.
Right.
Certainly GE is, well,
right.
I guess, probably one of the top companies. You made the decision to leave all that and join Welcome Entrepreneurship. So what was the reason for that? Why did you want to leave corporate America?
Well, it has been, I like one of the words in your E, the evolution, I think.
Yes.
And that's what my career has been, is an evolution, because I've been with, GE, Bell South, Holiday Inn Worldwide, repositioned that brand, and Carlson Vagen Lee. And I had the opportunity, a private equity group called and asked me to be CEO of a company that they had actually taken out of bankruptcy. And
Wow. So
I thought, gosh, I've been doing this for large corporations all my life. And making money, and because in GE that's the only thing that
pretty important.
That's right.
Minor detail.
Right. So interesting. So I just started to think that I really want to try to do this a different way, and it was one of the best decisions I could have made, because in the private equity world, that's where you learn about raising money, where you learn about balance sheets, where you learn, the buck kind of stops there. So it has been, that too was a good transition and evolution to actually what I'm doing now.
Well, we're talking with Millie Mangum. The phone number, the call-in line is 646-716-7099. That's 646-716-7099. If you've got a question, you can answer it. Or no, you can answer, you can ask it. And Millie will answer. I'll just be the referee here. Now, what do you think they saw in you, Millie? These venture capital guys, and said, and this is an opportunity, I guess, to toot your own horn, but what do they see? What skills did you bring to that opportunity?
Well, I've always been about growth. And
mm-hmm.
It, in terms of whether it's organic growth or acquisitive growth, leaving a business larger and better than when I came in, and that ability to, again, assess markets, capitalize on markets, and turn that into business profits is a skill that I think they liked.
Wow. And not only are you chief executive officer and I guess you own IBT, but you're also – I'm looking here. You're on several board of directors: Payless Shoes, Haverty Furniture, Barnes Group, and is it Mandria?
Imagion.
Imagion.
Yeah, medical imaging.
Easier for you to say.
Right.
And this other one, is this Imagion, or how do you pronounce this one?
Yeah, Imagion, and then Matria, which we just sold. In fact, we sold two boards that I was on this year, we actually sold. So it's a good year to sell great companies. That's one of my favorite things to do is to participate in those boards of directors because, again, that gives you a great network of people. You see different industries. Payless and Haverty's are in the retail sector, and we all know what that's been like the past year and a half. Barnes Group is heavy industry and technology, which is great. Imagion is medical imaging, and then Respironics and Matria, which we sold this year, were medical. One is disease management, and the other is medical equipment. So, and in the past, I've probably been on about 13 publicly traded boards where we've had, you know, we sold Scientific Atlanta was one. We sold to Cisco 2 years ago. So that's been another great part of the things that that I've particularly learned a lot from those experiences.
And you were Woman in Technologies 2004, Woman of the Year in Technology. That's impressive.
I was. Oh,
wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm glad you have enough time to talk with us. Hold up. Do I have to pay for this interview, by the way?
Not at all. This is one of the fun things that I enjoy doing because I just believe, as you do so passionately, in entrepreneurism, and I like to encourage people to take a try.
Well, let's talk about that. You've been an entrepreneur for a while. So what is the difference between working in corporate America and then having your own business on your own? What's that like?
It's interesting because in an entrepreneurial role, one of the issues is there's kind of no formal backstop. you just have to.
The buck stops with you.
right, exactly. You turn around and there's nobody there. You know, who, me? But in corporate America, the beautiful thing about it, you have a great set of colleagues and mentors and balance sheet,
mm-hmm.
strong balance sheets.
Yeah.
And one of the first things I learned from being an entrepreneur is that balance sheet is one that you create. And so if you want to buy a company, it's not about calling corporate headquarters and say, please send a check.
Yeah, you got to write the check or you got to find people to write the check.
That's exactly right. You have to convince people you know what you're doing and so that they would, you know, whether it is banks or private equity or angel investors or whomever. So it is very different in that respect.
So how were you successful in making this transition from corporate to small business owner?
Well, I did it in the evolutionary fashion, which was, you know, large corporation, then CEO of a private equity company. We grew that several hundred fold in just a couple years. And then had the opportunity in terms of doing my own deals. And in working on several other deals, it's where I came across IBT.
Mm.
And IBT was a company, we actually were a division of First Data at one time and was deemed to be a non-core asset, and it was sold to a gentleman and it was right after 9/11, and a lot of things were happening. The markets weren't good and kind of didn't get quite the start that it should have. And I was asked to come in and help get them out of debt, which I did. And then in 3 months, we got IBT out of debt, and I thought, gosh, these numbers move very quickly.
I'll keep it.
Yeah, right. Well, that's exactly what happened. And so I gave him an offer and at the same time bought another division of First Data and packaged it. And then in the evolution of our business, we bought another company in August of last year.
Well, I want to take a step back. You mentioned something that's, I think, a rarity, is that you had, I guess, an angel investor or a venture capital company that you started? Is that correct?
Well, no, I was...
Or you're with the... You were
with
them.
With a group that was a private equity company, and they asked me to go to become be CEO. And so I had private equity backing at that point. And so, but then we raised money during that experience. So you really learn how to package a company, pull out those elements that are going to be attractive to the equity partners, and raise more money. So, you know, that's one of the toughest things in being an entrepreneur is sources of capital, how to raise it, and how to do that effectively.
I definitely want to talk about that. I want to get back because you don't see many, well, maybe I'm wrong, but many women in venture capital, but they hired you and you became the CEO. That was critical in terms of your development to where you're at now. Is that correct? Knowing how to package those deals and what you said and recognize opportunities. And I mean, that's, wow.
It really was. It was a great experience. Every experience I've had has been building on the next one. Mm-hmm. I wish I could say it was all strategic planning and I planned to do this from the beginning. I didn't.
Yeah. Okay. it's just between you and I. We're just talking. There's nobody else listening.
Right.
Your secret's safe with me.
Right. Oh, good.
not you. But, okay, so... The challenges, what were some of the challenges that you faced making that? You said the buck stops with you and you've got the whole thing. What were some of the things that you had to work on with this new company that you built?
Well, the first major challenge, obviously, when you're either buying or building a company is being sure that, one, you have your market plans, you understand that market and the ability to execute and deliver, and then to convince financial backers that you can do this. In my case, we're very fortunate in buying the company to use senior debt through the banks. So that I did not have equity partners from private equity, venture capital, or even angel investors. So that it was all done with senior debts from large banks.
And see, I thought that was interesting when you said that. Most people are going around raising money from their friends and family, and you came in and you said, "Mr. Banker, Ms. Banker, I have this great company. Will you give us funds?" And they say, "Oh, yeah." Did it work simply like that? It's really interesting that you were able to have debt instead of the equity piece and give part of your company away.
Right, right. And that's an important consideration when anybody is beginning. You have to make that decision and then figure out your financial strategy is as important as your market strategy. So your capitalization structure and where you want to end up with. And you have to do that very carefully because it may not be what you want in the end if you give away too much in the beginning.
Right.
And so those are very careful considerations. And the bankers have been terrific in being great partners for us in how we approach our markets. And so in the beginning, actually, it was a friend of mine, a private equity guy. I was looking at equity partners, and he said, "Well, why don't you just do it yourself?" And it was as simple as that. And then I put together a package and took it to some banks, and it was a story that resonated with them.
Really? So, because I hear most bankers are not going to loan people money. What was the difference? Because you understood, I guess, the back end or how to put together a deal and how to sell it, and you had, I guess, prior relationships. Is that what helped you be successful and raise the money from the bank?
Exactly. Prior relationships with some very large bankers, that helps. And mm-hmm. also the character of our business. You know, we have licensed architects, interior designers, general contractors, but IBT Holdings, which is our holding company, we'll build almost 200 branch banks across the country this year.
Wow.
And those are in-store, storefront, as well as ground up, you know, from freestanding buildings. And with that, there was a belief, and maybe because bankers understand banking, and that's what we're building,
mm-hmm.
and
okay.
retail banks are very important these days. So it was kind of
something that they knew.
Yeah, great equation. They understood it. It wasn't far-fetched from what most of them had done. And so we found them to be great partners. So I would say don't give up on a financing channel until you've tried it.
Hmm. So how has raising money changed when you were doing it to now?
Well, the credit markets.
Did you do the same thing? Yeah.
Yeah, credit markets are in very, very tight. And it's difficult, whether it is a corporate board that I'm on and looking at credit markets from very large publicly traded corporations or from the entrepreneurial smaller to mid-cap company size, the credit markets are tight right now. It's tough. And so you shouldn't get discouraged just because it's tough, because eventually, you know, and you're already starting to see a little bit of it as the banks and their liquidity issues soften, you know, get a little bit better, you know, you'll see that loosen up, because ultimately they're in business to loan money.
So if there were maybe 3 to 5 key things that maybe some do's and don'ts in terms of raising money or approaching people, whether it's a bank or angel investors or VCs, what would be your recommendations? Or?
Well, first to plan well. Because if you don't spend the what I call intellectual capital on the front end, mm-hmm. you to really think through your business plan, understand it, understand the market, and be able to convey the confidence, whether it's banks or private equity or angel investors, then you won't get the financial capital in the back end. So spend the intellectual capital on the front end to really be tough on yourself. Ask yourself the tough questions. Don't just be nice to yourself. Be really tough on yourself and put yourself in the financing guy's shoes, and then get your story and your facts really down so that you convey that confidence and the ability to execute boldly. That's very important.
All right. And so I think the next thing I want to do is talk a little bit about your company that you bought and have grown and have success with. So what is IBT?
IBT is, and we're now a holding company with three companies underneath. And IBT actually stands for Imagine, Build, and Teach. And the imagine is the design, the architectural design that we do. The build is the construction, the actual building. And the teaching is really our performance training and consulting that we do. We are chiefly in the financial services sector and market to the financial services sector, to large banks, regional banks, credit unions. We actually do work for some of the tax preparers, so anybody in the financial services industry, we would design and build that retail experience. And then we help with merchandising and marketing around that, because anything that you build is a manifestation of your brand. So
mm-hmm.
it has to really convey to your customers the qualities of the brand, and that's all in the construction and what you do. So we do that all over the country, as well as in Canada.
And what's really interesting, I want to talk a little bit about, you got your start. You were a teacher for gifted children.
I was.
Is that correct?
That's exactly correct. I have degrees. I'm not qualified for anything I've done.
You're doing pretty well now.
Well, thank you. But, I have degrees in education, minor in psychology, and I taught highly gifted children for 1 year, and I was actually was going to graduate school to get my degree in clinical psychology, and ended up with this opportunity at General Electric and have never looked back. I contribute a lot to the educational arena.
So teachers can be leaders.
Teachers are leaders.
you're doing pretty well in that respect, definitely. So let's talk. You said something at this event that you were on the panel, and you said that our assets wear shoes. Talk a little bit about your leadership philosophy.
Yes. Oh, yes. We're a professional services company, so we don't have big factories and inventories. The strength of our company is our people, and our assets do wear shoes, which means every day they vote with their feet in terms of the company that we are. Mm-hmm. And so I believe very strongly in my management philosophy is that I'm just part of the team. And it takes everyone in our company and their roles to make us successful. And my commitment to my team is that they will benefit personally, professionally, and financially from the association with our company. And so when you make everybody feel a part, everybody has a role. Anybody can say anything they want to in our company as long as it's said professionally and appropriately. Mm-hmm. Then people take ownership, and we provide an environment that I believe it's creative, it's fun. We are under pressure because we always deliver for our clients, but we do it in a way that our clients actually, the references that we have are fabulous. So our clients love doing business with us. So I think, you know, our philosophy and the management philosophy of the company shows up in how our employees feel about it. We have a lot of long-term employees in the company, and they're very, very loyal, and therefore that fosters loyal clients.
You're going to talk about our assets, wear our shoes. Your employees are the most important asset. I always say if you don't treat them as assets, they become a liability.
That's a very good thought.
Yeah. So how do you find good people? First of all, you got to find them, then you got to train them,
right?
And then how do you keep them? So how do you find good people? Because most people say, I know my business, I know my expertise, but when it comes to people, there's where the challenge is. So how do you find good people?
Right. Well, the people side of things is always a challenge, and it's interesting. No matter whether you're in a Fortune 100 or you know, mid-cap or small company, people make the difference. And technology is going to work out one way or the other. You know, it's the people that are the variable in a company. The way we find great people, it's interesting. A lot of great people find us because they've read about the company, they've heard about us. I get quite a few resumes that come in. I actually, when I give speeches, oftentimes people will call me and just say, you know, I liked what you said, here are my skills, could I come and meet? And I always meet with them because I learn a lot, I meet a lot of great people, I hopefully can help them, and a lot of times they can help us. So we find people that way. We do have, you know, websites that we post our jobs, we have recruiters. So we find people in many different ways. And more than anything, it's the attitudinal fit and cultural fit with the company because we do believe we can train them. They have to bring the architectural degrees from that standpoint. But the other employees, we do believe we can train as long as people have the right attitude and the drive to deliver results.
Let's talk a little bit about that. What is IBT's culture? What is that like?
The culture is what I think it's there's a quote, and I'm going to get it a little bit wrong, but it's care more than others think is wise. You know, risk more than others think is wise, and it's kind of doing more.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's for the client, whether it's in the creative approach that we've taken, but letting people and our clients know that we're there 150%. So that's our culture. And it's one of mutual support. Plus we have good benefits, by the way. I take pride in that.
Mm-hmm.
that we share with our employees, and it is beneficial for them to be associated with the company.
So how do you said attitude was important. Do you have tests that you take people through, let me just ask that question. I have a follow-up question. That is it testing? I mean, how do you select these people? They give you a resume, and then what's the process to
Right.
When
well,
actually
we
offer
don't
them.
Formally test.
Okay.
I have done that in companies, but we don't formally test. We look for the paper credentials, mm-hmm. and then what we do is we ask everybody to come through a whole series of interviews with the company at all levels, by the way.
Okay.
So you wouldn't just meet with one person. You'd meet with, and I meet with, or try to meet with everybody that we hire in any of the three companies. So it's important for me to convey to any new hire the expectation of the company and my promise to them, and hopefully understand their promise to us, because it's a two-way street.
So you have a really great recruiting system. So when they're in there, what is it like now that you have them as employees? How do you support and empower the employees? You talk about our assets wear shoes. So what do they do now that they've been employed by IBT?
Right. Well, we have great training within their own divisions or mm-hmm. Areas where they're working. So we have that training, like for our designers, for instance, the architects and interior designers. We've taken them through LEED certification, which is, you know, in Building Green and environmental.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a whole process that we're a company that builds green, and
well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so we are LEED certified, and not everybody in the design and build world is LEED certified because it's an investment. We have to pay for certification, give people time off to take it. Then they have to be willing to take tests. But we support the employees in doing that. So there are training, different training areas that we send people to. And then we actually, at least once a year, we bring everybody into Atlanta for an all-company meeting. We spend a couple of days together talking about the business plan for the year, what we expect, how to accomplish it, what are the issues. I'm a big one for what are the problems.
Wow. Yes.
The good things are going to go right. It's the problems that are going to get you. So what are they? Get them.
What are we missing? Yeah.
Yeah, and let's deal with them, you know. Mm-hmm. Nothing bad, just deal with them. So it's that kind of what I call continuous learning in the company, that we are very supportive of our employees.
Wow, okay. So what about the I guess the accomplishments of your company, IBT? What are you proud of, most proud of, with your company now?
Well, our phenomenal growth, which has been acquisitive and organic, and we are well-positioned And in fact, in this really, really tough year, we're well up over last year. So I'm very proud of that. So it's a difficult year, and especially in financial services, but our company is still up, which is a testament to the strength of the company.
And to you.
Well, thank you. And to great employees.
We just got a few minutes left. I wanted to ask a question about you. You said you introduced a term that I think I've never heard called new urbanism. What is new urbanism?
New urbanism is actually a concept. It's a community concept where if you think about the small towns of old, where people lived in small towns and they lived there, they worked there, they played there, but it was a smaller community. And what's happened is in an urban environment, those concepts of called new urbanism, they're coming back, which is creating this small community flavor. So you have places, well, Atlantic Station would be an example, where people live there, they work there, they play there, they shop there, and have the ability to create smaller communities even though you're in huge urban environments. And that our company deals with that in how we put retail concepts together. We're putting a lot of coffee bars and large coffee, specialty retail coffee companies into banks, for instance.
Oh, so really?
Even
in bookstores.
Becomes, right, and especially in retirement environments where people come in to do their banking. They want to have a cup of coffee, talk to their friends.
Wow.
And, yeah, so you're creating this new urbanism environment. Yeah, so great. And so it's how you put retail-to-retail concepts together to create the traffic that's going to create the business. And so that's part, new urbanism is part of that.
So if Starbucks can do it, banks can do it too.
You bet.
That's where the money is. You're just going to get a cup of coffee at, you know, Starbucks. But
right, and maybe
you get money at banks.
Exactly, and maybe you'll be able to do your shipping and handling, mail your packages from the bank, and you have a small business center, community center, if you will.
Wow, okay. When does that come into the Atlanta area? Should it be?
Well, it's coming. There's actually a couple of banks that are beginning that we're in the planning stages for some now. So.
Okay, well, I guess you can't mention that right now. So what do you see as some of the trends that we should be aware of in your business, your line of work? You talked about new urbanism. You've mentioned that you might want to maybe talk about the green initiative. But so what are some of the trends that you see that would be helpful for our listeners?
Well, building green is very important. And I am so encouraged to see the business side of America. You hear so many bad things, you know, but I am so encouraged to see, and we see it because we are construction specialists as well, that the building and the corporate side of America, the business side, is very concerned about building green concepts. How do they participate in continuing to protect our environment? So that's a major trend. Another one, which is interesting, people might not have thought about this, but the retail side of banking, the everyday depositors, are the ones who are the strength right now of the financial side of the financial markets in America. The everyday depositors who go in and put their money in that bank, those are the ones who are helping banks to get through these liquidity crises. And so it's, I encourage people that you know, who sometimes feel removed from some of the issues in the country, or those that it's the other person's problem, but that those everyday depositors putting the money in the banks, that is really strengthening the financial side of the American markets right now. So that's a trend where you kind of think, gee, the only people important to financial institutions are these big companies or whatever. It's not. It's the everyday depositor. So I think everyday depositors should know their strength in the market, by the way. and get those good interest rates.
Yeah, I guess maybe one last question before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. And that would be, you're a woman, CEO, business owner. What advice would you like to share with women who want to embrace entrepreneurship and become small business people and build $1 million and $1 billion companies? What advice would you lend to them?
Well, I would. I have a watchword called perseverance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's perpetual forward motion, and one foot in front of the other. Every day, successes often seem like, gee, they did it overnight. Rarely. It is always one foot in front of the other, that perseverance. And I don't like to talk about failure. I like mm-hmm. to talk about learning experiences. And not everything works, but if you learn from it and then learn how to capitalize on it, you're going to be better for it. And it's interesting. I just have this perpetual forward motion so that sometime when you kind of stop to take a deep breath, you turn around and you say, my gosh, look where we are. Mm-hmm. And we've really accomplished quite a bit. And people, I think, sometimes get discouraged a little early. And so you have to fight against that. And especially for women in the marketplace, to continue to move forward in that perpetual manner, and you will move, and you'll move people and markets and customers and businesses with you.
So I got to ask one more question, if you allow me. Sure. What is the difference between a woman business owner or a CEO and a man who is a CEO? Who's the better leader, better manager? I'll just put that out there and see what comes.
Well, I kind of, I grew up in General Electric corporately, and it didn't matter if you were, you know, man, woman, cat, you know, whatever. As long as you knew how to deliver to the bottom line, do it taking care of people and taking care of customers. The people in your company and the customers that you serve. And so the men and the women who do that successfully are the ones who succeed. There's a little bit of cultural stuff out there with women, but you get that track record of success and build on it. Mm-hmm. And I see leaders in both ways. Sometimes they do it differently, but it's that tough but fair. You have to really have the guts to lead, and I've seen that terrifically in both men and women.
And it's interesting now with, I guess, corporate downsizing. Is there more opportunity now as a small business person? I mean, they can't make that transition. Some people are not going to corporate America; they're just starting their own businesses. What are your thoughts there? Where's the opportunity?
Well, I believe that there is a great opportunity for starting your own business or buying a business.
Like you did.
Yeah, which I bought it and then built onto it. So I bought three of them. And so basically, I think this is a great time, even though don't get discouraged by the financial markets. Get encouraged by the climate and where creativity and entrepreneurship can really pay in an environment like this.
Wow. So thank you, Millie. Really appreciate you spending time with us.
Thank you, Ken. This is a great service that you do.
That's my passion, is what I do. If you would want to wrap up, what would you like to say in conclusion of our conversation?
We'd just like to encourage people to truly try those things. Don't discourage yourself. Encourage yourself. Let the world, they're going to have enough discouraging things out there. So believe in yourself and get going.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you so very much, Millie. Appreciate it. Thank you for spending the time. You didn't charge me anything. I haven't checked my
Not a thing. It is absolutely my pleasure. Thanks.
And this is a wonderful interview. I really enjoyed it. I love bringing people like yourself to share interesting stories and experiences, and we truly learn from what you're doing and what you continue to do. Great success in what you do. Maybe you'll come back and tell us when you've bought the next company.
Anytime. Thanks very much.
All right. So that's our show, ladies and gentlemen. So what did you learn today? Talk about New Urbanism, IBT. Millie, she's doing great guns, and then she'll buy another couple companies. And, hey, what are your assets wear shoes? They better be. Treat them as assets or they'll become liabilities. So specifically, what action steps will you implement to improve your business and increase profitability? Don't forget to listen to the show. We're on iTunes. You can go to Business Broadcast and look for E3C, The Passion Entrepreneur. We're there. Tell your business associate, friend, relative about the show, and they'll be happy that you did. If you want a free consultation, I do offer them to the first 5 or 10 people for inquiries. Go to Better Sales and Profits Now. You can sign up. If you're looking for new ideas and strategies, certainly give us a call. Helpful hints, subscribe to our newsletters, Better Sales and Profits Now. You can go to the website, bettersalesandprofitsnow.com. And if you want to connect with other entrepreneurs, last year we connected 500 people. This year we've connected about 480 people. We meet on Tuesday online, really interesting, online, Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9. You can connect with other passionate entrepreneurs, and you can check out my business community. That's my-business-community.com. Go to the event section, weekly announcement, and you can sign up for that. It's invitation only. We can't let just anybody sneak in. Anyway, again, thank you for listening to the program. Dare to be great, be remarkable, be extraordinary, stay profitable, and go make that sale. Brian Hunley, New Wine Music, take us out.